Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Kellogg, Summerhill, Sydney, Australia, February 14, 1897, previously unpublished. Dr. Kellogg, Dear Brother, bear with me as I again present to you the subject of John Wessel's coming to Australia. He says he will come if the Foreign Mission Board, FMB, sends him or advises him to come. The way I regard this matter is, the Dot is not capable of deciding such questions. The men who give themselves, as Brother John Wessels proposes to do, to a missionary work, have the benefit of a higher counsel than the Dot is to depend on in making decisions. He should seek God for counsel. It is either his duty to come here, or it is not. How can the Mission Board decide such a question? As I have been made to understand the manner this board has treated such questions, if he takes the matter to his God, he will be taught of God, and will locate himself as God shall direct him. If he has faith in God, and trusts in him who is wise in counsel, he will not be left in uncertainty. The heavenly teacher is infinite in wisdom. He cannot err. If we ask of God, we have the promise that he will hear. He will answer us. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. James 1, verse 5, 6. We need help here. Never can the work advance unless we have more workers than we have now in the health home. And unless we have more means, for we can no more set in operation any approach to the work you are doing than the children who were required to make bricks without straw. Why not yourself and wife, after the close of the General Conference, come away from your business and severe taxation to Australia and rest a while? We need just the help you can give us in New South Wales. They need in Melbourne the very help you can give them. If you knew one half that we have stood against here in this country to make the least success in advancing the work, you would be surprised that we have done even what we have. The course that some have pursued has been a hindrance in the place of being a help. It was a grievous disappointment for us to come to the decision, according to the light given me of God, that some were exerting an influence that was giving a wrong mold to human minds and therefore to the work. These men know not what spirit they are of. Brother Shannon has carried the leaven of evil to Johannesburg to work against us in Kurrenbong, against the whole school enterprise and its managers. Brother Lawrence is about to leave for New Zealand. These hindrances will be removed out of the way, but what kind of witness will they bear as they go from Kurrenbong? These men of gray hairs ought to do a different work than they have been doing. Their only hope is to fall on the rock and be broken. The words which Christ addressed to Nicodemus are highly appropriate to these cases. Ye must be born again. John 3, verse 7. But we want no such spirit as these have manifested to be retained on the school ground. Cannot you come and visit Australia and New Zealand? And is it not really your duty to do this, have a change and rest from your burdens, and then give us the very help that we need in our great necessity? I understand your situation in Battle Creek. You have been gathering more and more burdens upon yourself until you are loaded down and pressed as a cart beneath sheaves. The Lord made known the duty of the people in Battle Creek. There were means to move out of Battle Creek to locate in districts where the truth had not been proclaimed. They could, as families, settle in towns and cities, then watch their opportunities and cry unto God for wisdom to know how to work. When they shall take up the work with humble, sanctified hearts, working in Christ's lines, by personal effort they can communicate light to others. This may require self-sacrificing efforts, but it will be a blessing to them to be where they can do service to the Master. The people in towns and cities have not received the light, as God has repeatedly shown me they should have it. A firm, steady, earnest influence in living the truth would be the very representative work the Lord has given them to do. They could take up the same lines of work that you have been doing, in a limited degree, proportionate to their facilities, and the Lord would be their sufficiency. Nothing will or ever can give character to the work in the presentation of truth as that of helping the people just where they are. A work properly conducted to save poor sinners that have been passed by the churches will be the entering wedge where the truth will find standing room. A different order of things needs to be established among us as a people, and in doing this class of work, there would be created an entirely different atmosphere surrounding the souls of the workers, for the Holy Spirit communicates to all those who are doing God's service, and those who are worked by the Holy Spirit will be a power for good in lifting up, strengthening, and saving the souls that are ready to perish. The Lord has not looked upon Battle Creek favorably because they have neglected to do the very work which the Lord has told them was their duty to do. Through neglect of working in Christ's lines, a condition of things has been brought into the work that has eclipsed high and holy interests. There have been heavenly intelligences waiting for human agencies with which to cooperate. Had they worked the works of God, they would have discovered human minds that have been once cultivated, but who have been buried up in self-serving, in dissipated habits, in intemperance, who with suitable encouragement will spring into their places. There are many of this class that will respond to the right kind of labor, but they need to be recognized and to have firm, patient, earnest labor given them in order to uplift them. There are schools that may be established, not in the elaborate way as Union College or as Battle Creek College, but after a more simple style, with humble buildings, and then there should be teachers who will conduct them after God's plan, as near as they can understand, after the school of the prophets. Their teachers should be men and women who not only have a knowledge of the truth, but who are doers of the Word of God. It is written will be voiced by them. Connected with the school, the missionary line of work should always be engaged in to help the class who are fallen, degraded, left wounded, and bruised and ready to perish. There will be found those who have once preached the word and been considered able ministers, who have failed because they did not see the necessity of strict temperance in all things. Objectionable hereditary and cultivated tendencies have brought them under temptations, and in the place of overcoming through the grace of God, they yielded and fell. There are men who have had high qualifications entrusted them of God, who have been apparently able ministers. But Satan spread his net for them, and they were taken in the snare on point of appetite. Their reform was presented before them, but they would not heed the words of warning. I have been shown that the medical missionary work will discover in the very depths of degradation men who once possessed fine minds, the richest qualifications, who, by proper labor, will be rescued from their fallen condition. It is the truth as it is in Jesus, brought before the human minds after they have been sympathetically cared for and their physical necessities met. The Holy Spirit is working and cooperating with the human agencies that are laboring for such souls, and some will appreciate the foundation upon a rock for their religious faith. Much painstaking effort will be required. There is to be no startling communication made of strange doctrine to these subjects whom God loves and pities. But as they are helped physically by the medical missionary workers, the truth for this present time is to be presented. The Holy Spirit cooperates with human agencies to arouse the moral powers. The mental powers are awakened into activity, and these poor souls will, many of them, be saved in the kingdom of God. The enemy has worked his best to prevent this missionary work from being done. There has been A, going over the same ground, with the idea to help ministers to obtain a better knowledge of the Word, when these very men should have been working for souls that are in the darkness of error, to impart the knowledge they have already received from the Word. And as they try to teach others, depending upon the grace of Christ to help them, searching the Scriptures as diligent students, they will gain by practice a knowledge of the Word, and their understanding will be greatly enlarged, as is expressed in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Practice makes perfect. As diligent students, read the Word. Be doers of the Word, and the Holy Spirit will be close by every worker. The love of God will be kindled in the soul of the one who is ministering, in doing the very work the Lord has appointed to be done in missionary lines. The servants of God should have a high sense of the work to be done for a fallen world, in giving the messages of warning, and the invitations to the great supper prepared for all to come to the gospel feast. The work of many will be first to show the tender sympathies of the Good Samaritan, in supplying the physical necessities, feeding the hungry, bringing the poor that are cast out to their house, gathering strength from God every day, that through His grace they may reach to the very depths of human woe and misery, and help those who cannot possibly help themselves. This is being fishers of men, and in doing this work, they have a favorable opportunity to set forth Christ as crucified among us. Such labor entered into will form a heritage of light. We thank the Lord for the medical missionary work that has already been done, but there is a large army of workers that is to engage in the same class of labor in different locations in cities and the byways and hedges. There is more enlightenment to be given to those who are perishing in their sins. There will be very singular cases brought to notice who need not only the necessities of physical wants supplied, which is as essential as the first work, but to be brought into connection with sanitariums and homes that can present pure, correct principles for medical restoration. There are many who will catch hold of the hand stretched out to save them. Not only young men and women, but those of all ages will be found who have been dead to all aspirations, who will respond as hope and light flashes in upon them, for the Holy Spirit is close beside the one who is ministering upon the human mind and the heart of those dead in trespasses and sins. And as a retrospective view is brought to their hitherto benumbed senses, there will be many things brought to mind that make them burn with shame at the thought of the influence which they have been exerting, calculated to enfeeble weak souls by their practice and example, those who have been brought within the sphere of their influence. They see them enfeebled, dilapidated, without moral force, moral wrecks to communicate their evil practices to others. Parents' hearts are broken. Brothers and sisters and relatives speak of these poor souls as hopeless, but God looks upon them with pitying sorrow and tenderness. He understands all the circumstances which have led these poor souls under temptation, which has separated them from God. How can the youth of this generation escape the terrible dishonor of wasting their inheritance given them of God, selling their birthright as did Esau for a mess of pottage, betraying sacred interests entrusted to them for the blessing of humanity? They indulge in intemperate appetites, and through greed to obtain money, fall into dishonest practices. These poor souls need to be brought in connection with high, pure Bible principles. But first, the restoration work must commence in giving them healthful food and furnishing them facilities for clean bodies and clean clothing, and some sparks of gratitude will begin to flash forth. Then they are prepared to listen to you, as you shall open to them the Word of God. You can bring them to Jesus, the great healer. Angels are helping in this work to restore and bring them back to the one who has given his life to redeem them. The Holy Spirit is cooperating with you in this working upon the heart, and the Spirit reproves of sin, of righteousness, and a judgment to come. But if they are brought into connection with a people who will not leave the work incomplete, but will give them every advantage of personal labor, the image of God will be restored in many of these poor, forsaken ones, and God and the heavenly angels will rejoice over them with singing. Those who have never become enfeebled through demoralizing habits can know only how to pity and love these poor souls through the love they have for Jesus, their Redeemer, who gave His life for these degraded specimens of humanity. They who have been redeemed by the sacrifice of the life of Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, if they will be laborers together with God, will find a wide field open before them on every side in which to do service for God. Not one needs to be idle, and not one should be indolent and selfish now. If they have enriched and improved the beautiful inheritance given them of God, let them seek after the lost sheep to help the very ones that need help, seeking to raise up the fallen and bring them to a sense of the value of the talents which God has given them, which they have neglected to improve, but turned them to a sinful account. Use the Word of God as your lever to pry them out of their degraded condition. Some you may find may, through faith in Jesus Christ, rise to the high places of service and be entrusted with responsibilities in the work to save souls. They have the advantage of many because they have had an experience, and they know their necessities and how to help them, and what means will be best to use to recover the perishing ones. A new career is opened before them. The light of a rich, new, and varied experience is gained through the knowledge that has been communicated to them that Jesus Christ is their Savior, that He is touched with the feelings of their infirmities, and He understands all the strength of the temptations wherewith they are beset. For he was tempted in all points like as we are, and he will save to the utmost all who will come unto him for refuge. Every one of these souls added to the force of workers, provided with facilities and instructions daily given in regard to the matters of how to save souls to Jesus Christ, the Bible being their guide, and the Holy Spirit being their helper and comforter, can enter in as co-laborers with those servants of God who have helped them to search for treasures of new light. They are filled with gratitude to God. They are quickened and their energies strengthened to lift up the unfortunate and fallen who can never rise without help. The piety and advanced spiritual knowledge and growth of a church is proportionate to the zeal, piety, and missionary intelligence that has been brought into it and carried out of it to be a blessing to the very ones who need our assistance the most. Again, I urge you to consider Isaiah 58 that opens a wide and extensive vineyard to be worked upon the lines which the Lord has pointed out. When this is done, there will be an increase of moral sources, and the church will no more remain almost stationary. There will be the blessing and power attending their labor. The selfishness that has bound up their souls they have overcome, and now their light is being given to the world in clear, bright rays, in exercising a living faith and godly example. The Lord has His promises for all who will do His requirements. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon a bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Psalm 41, verse 1-3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalm 37, verse 3. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Proverbs 3, verse 9-10. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. Proverbs 11, verse 24-25. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given him will he pay him again. Proverbs 19, verse 17. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Isaiah 58, verse 10-11. The Word of God is full of precious promises, as the above. If we will enter into the work, and will do according to the Word of the Lord, this would reveal, if acted upon, in every city in the byways and hedges, a similar showing as has attended the work that Dr. Kellogg has been engaged in. It is the very work the Lord has specified should be done from the light the Lord has been pleased to give me. The means which has been diverted from missionary lines to selfish indulgences has dishonored God. The bicycle idol has been a curse to the Battle Creek Church, and has had an influence unfavorable to the advancement of spiritual life and energy in the church. It has counteracted the work the Holy Spirit has graciously done for the people, more even than the ball playing and their other games. The missionary work has been neglected. The very lines of work which should have been done have been left undone, and selfishness and strife for the victory in swift riding has hurt the souls of many and has placed them in a most objectionable light. The money expended in these idols, if carefully and economically used, being invested in the interests in towns and cities to carry forward the work of God, would have been in accordance with God's will. Many places in Michigan have never heard the third angel's message. Right at the heart of the work, where our great institutions are established, there has been an influence extended, in doing those things which God has cautioned them not to do, that has greatly lowered the estimation of the character of the work in the city of Battle Creek. There has been a fascination upon human minds. There has been a godless enthusiasm which should make them blush with shame, for there is a missionary work, plenty to be done for the Master, but left untouched. The Lord has a controversy with His people who have had such great light in Battle Creek. The Lord has done great things for His people, but they have not appreciated His mercy, neither heeded His warnings. Ezekiel 20, verse 38 to 44. The Lord will not be trifled with, for He is God, the great and terrible God. He will punish for these things. Oh, what shall I say more? What words shall I trace upon paper? What words that will arouse the dormant energies?